Welcome back to Intertwined Minds, a podcast that likes to live fun and fancy free.
I don't, because once I dropped a bean on the ground...
About to drop your beans.
Oh, wow. Fucking warmed the people up first. Yes, but not what I meant. Dropped a bean, it was on the ground, landed a bit of water, and almost shot straight up my ass pipe.
That's where she got it.
What?
That's not a story for the podcast. Last time I told you to come on back to hear about the toads that, or the tadpoles that turned into toads in my living room. Then we left them there because fuck it. We don't own the house anymore. Enjoy the toads, cocksucker. Ah! Unfortunately, tadpoles didn't make it. They croaked, yeah. Tadpoles didn't make it. My sister tried her best to take care of them. They couldn't survive in the, even though it was there, the ditch water, I guess it probably was the climate or, you know, they didn't eat the food. They didn't want that stuff. Who knows? But they didn't make it. She was devastated. I was devastated. We made a rule. No more tadpoles in the house.
I also chuckled a little.
She was very upset with you.
I know. I made tons of jokes. I went online to look up frog jokes immediately. I was just like going through.
I thought you were clever. No, turns out you're scum.
Actually, those I did make up. Because honestly, you want to hear the fucking frog jokes that they got online? I couldn't do anything.
Probably not great, hey?
No, it was literally like a stories. Like, you know, like I would have to read a whole fucking thing to get to the punchline. And so I was just like, I got them. Don't worry about that.
You want to fill the people in with what's going on with you? Just before we start?
Getting my nuts clipped.
Well, that's what my sister thought.
Yeah, apparently she thinks I'm going to be just like the dog now.
Yeah, she thought they were just going to yank him down and slice him off.
Woo!
You, my dog, your dog, Rover down the street.
I believe her exact words, you and your dog's name.
You can say my dog's name.
Fine. You and Roscoe, pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, wow.
Yeah, thanks. Now Roscoe's going to have a friend. You guys are going to be like twins. I was like, whoop.
It's not exactly.
I had to explain to her after that. And by the way, she's 10, so she can handle it. I had to explain to her afterwards that that's not quite how it works. She has adopted the term chubbly wubbly though, so enjoy.
Honestly, I really enjoyed that.
I did too until she started saying chubbly wubbly bag.
But it's my chubbly wubbly bag.
Yeah, but we don't need my sister going around talking about yours or anybody else's chubbly wubbly bag.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Just a quick update, guys. My family did find a place to live, a place to move into there. So we're on absolute double time. We've been extremely busy the past like a couple months, but now we're on absolute double time. So hopefully that I might have to skip an episode on you guys the weekend that we move in for sure. I'm hoping it'll only be one. So if we're missing an episode, hopefully you guys understand. We appreciate your understanding if you do. We love yous, and I don't like skipping episodes. I really don't. It makes me uncomfortable, but I'm going to be so busy that weekend that, you know.
Question for you. Are you guys leaving the dryer?
No.
You're taking the dryer with you?
Yeah, we're taking pretty much everything.
I was going to say, what a shame.
Why?
Just shove shit in the dryer and turn it on.
I thought you were going to say stuff the fucking pipe full of lint, burn the cocksucker down.
No. Burn down is an insurance job for him. The whole house reeking like fucking cremated shit.
Oh my God, I'll do what someone did to me. I'll shit in the toilet and leave it.
My shit in the top half.
So you know that problem we have with our fridge and our freezer sometimes? The fins in the back of the freezer, they freeze up and then the fridge leaks?
Yeah.
So we were having that problem the other night and the water was just pissing at the bottom of the fridge. And my stepfather was like, fuck's sakes, any more water down here? The fridge is going to fall through the floor. I was like, just as long as it lasts 2 weeks. I don't give a fuck if the entire floor caves in. Fuck it. So... today, we are going to be going back to Reddit. We're going to be just doing... We're not going to do Am I the Asshole this time. We're not going to... What have we done on Reddit? We've done...
Am I the Asshole.
Am I the Asshole, Am I the Devil, and Advice.
Yes.
So today, we're going to be doing No Sleep.
No Sleep.
Which is like scary stories. I believe this is people sharing their personal scary stories.
I found pictures of cute owls on there. I really enjoyed.
On here? Oh, on Reddit itself. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so this is No Sleep. It's a subreddit where the mission statement here is No Sleep is a place for Redditors to share their personal scary personal experiences. So we're going to be reading through some of those, reacting to them.
Maybe I should start up one based on my life.
That would be hilarious. I would be your biggest reader.
I'd have so much karma.
You got any personal scary stories you want to share before we get in this, or after maybe if you think of one?
Well, what do you consider scary stories?
Well, your Wendigo, well, what you assumed to be a Wendigo story was pretty scary. I think you might have shared that before.
I have shared that. That was, all bullshitting aside, that actually fucking terrified me for a while. I was not excited to go in the woods, and I do quite enjoy going in the woods. And the only reason I know I wasn't crazy was because my wife was there and she seen the thing too.
I would have liked to see that, to be honest.
You know what? I would, no offense, to a normal person, I would say, no, you wouldn't, but you actually would like to.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. No, it was fucking terrifying.
Oh, before we get into this, I think I've shared a lot of my scary stories on here. I've got some like actual dealing with actual people scary stories, but they're not really, they don't scare me, so I don't consider them so, you know.
Yeah.
Before we get into this, if you guys like D&D or even the idea of D&D and think about getting into it or are into it or just want to like look through a campaign if you're bored one time, I highly, highly, highly recommend Dimension 20. Just, they're on YouTube. You can search them. It's college. If you guys have ever heard of College Humor, I know you have.
Yeah.
It's a College Humor and they do campaigns, but it's like fun. Funny,
hilarious.
Yeah, funny, hilarious campaigns. I sent the captain a clip of it the other night because I was legitimately like crying laughing.
I fucking died laughing at that.
I was crying. I sent you that clip. I had watched that clip twice before I recorded it, and even in the clip, you can still hear me laughing. Like, I was crying. So if you guys like D&D or want to get into it or want to just watch something when you're bored.
Make the best of it. What got me was the look on the lady's face that he was trying to convince. She's like, no.
Yeah. So Dimension 20, check that out. And if I was going to recommend one, Fantasy High. The Fantasy High campaign. Oh my God, so good.
Oh, it was fucking hilarious.
I am starting writing my own campaign. Because nice. I really want to play.
Okay.
And I've been doing research to see if there's any way possible that I could be a dungeon master and we could do it on here with just you as one person.
Yeah.
And I try to like write other characters to help you that I will just
play.
Yeah, I will just play.
Okay.
It's a lot of work, but I really want to play D&D and we don't have other friends to play D&D with us. So
we could go to one of the seminars, but I know you won't. I sent you that thing the other day.
That's my worst nightmare. he had all the answers. Alright, so let's just jump into one of these. So the title is, When Death Comes, Don't Look, Don't Move, and Don't Speak.
I'd be terrible.
I wonder if I'm the only one that can see it. It's pretty stereotypical to the depictions throughout history, so I wonder if maybe there were and are others. It makes me think that all the fantastical creatures, monsters, and beasts we see in movies didn't actually come from imagination, just from people who could see things that others couldn't. Maybe it's a mixed bag of both. If that's true and people see things like fairies and unicorns, how lucky for them. Maybe we all see things and we just don't share that information out of fear of others will all think we're crazy. I don't think you're crazy until you tell someone. I hope by telling you all this, you'll call me crazy. I can see death, and death has seen me. This seems like a short story more than a personal experience, but
alright. Is that it?
No.
Oh, okay.
The first time I saw death was when I was 7 and staying with my grandparents during the summer. My parents always took...
Side note, I almost drowned once as a kid. Don't remember it, though. Still love water.
Piss.
It wasn't in piss.
We don't know.
It was in a lake.
Piss, for sure.
Nah, come on. Continue.
I was staying with my grandparents during the summer. My parents always took a parents-only vacation every year. My grandma said it helped them stay in love. I wonder if she saw Cupid readying his arrow as they dropped me off. She was right, though. They'd come back from their yearly trips deeper in love than when they left. Yes, I see the finger through the hole motion. Thank you.
A lot of fucking.
That summer, my grandma left this world. I saw the moment she did. It was late at night. We'd always stay up watching old movies together. It would get late, and she'd lay down and fall asleep on the couch. I'd be cradled in the crook of her legs. This time, she'd fallen asleep while we were watching a movie about a detective investigating the mafia.
But never woke up.
She'd always snored. Not loud, but enough volume that you'd notice. It was, it approached from the left side of the room. It didn't walk into my vision as much as it appeared mid-stride. It was a pitch-black figure in a robe. There's an instinct buried deep within our subconscious that comes out in these moments, or at least that's what I believe. This instinct said, be afraid, don't move, don't make a sound, and don't look. I kept my eyes focused on the TV as it glided across the room in front of the TV, and to the side of the couch just out of view. Silence has a presence, and emptiness can fill a space. My grandma stopped snoring and slowly rose up toward the thing. I never turned away from the TV, but I could feel her as it. I could feel her and it as they moved away. It would be another 5 minutes before I had enough courage to stop looking at the TV. When I did, I turned my head to face my grandma, lying right where she'd always been. She was gone, though. I knew it. Death has a feeling, and I felt it that night. I would spend the rest of the night nestled in the crook of my grandma's legs. In the morning, I would feel sadness as my grandfather gently nudged me awake. He had tears in his eyes. That emotion would always arrive soon after death. You knew your grandma was dead, and you just laid in the crook of her legs all night without getting help? Or?
This is like the start of some Dexter shit.
He was 7, though.
Dexter was younger!
Yeah, but like... I don't know. At 7, even at 7, I feel like I would have been like, oh, fuck! Grandma... Not fuck, but oh, no! Grandma died! We should probably call help!
Yeah.
But if I saw something that I thought was death, maybe I'd be shitting bricks. Who knows? I wouldn't see death in person again until 15. It was the first football game of the year. We were up 14 and about to push them into the fourth down. My best friend started defense and I played offense. He played safety, the last line of defense. He wasn't the best at tackling but could break up a pass, something fierce. They had 5 more yards to go for the first down. They ran for a big gain. The running back and Chris met in the middle, both with heads full of steam. Chris put his head down before impact. The play ended in silence that seemed to last forever. Death appeared again, out of nowhere. That same subconscious cold chill shot itself through my body. Don't speak. Don't move. Don't look. But this time, I did look. How could I not? This is going to sound crazy, but do you know those movies where someone either dies or has an out-of-body experience? They just seem to float up out of their bodies, then look at themselves still sitting where they were? That's kind of what happened here, except Chris didn't float. He was grabbed. Now that it wasn't in a dark room, I could see it clearly. It was around 8 feet tall with that fucking scythe the same size as its body. It had those freakishly bony hands. A hood covered its head. It flipped the scythe upside down and plunged it into Chris's chest and pulled him out of his body. Chris rose, kicking, flailing, screaming in pain, or at least that's what his face led me to believe. He didn't make a sound, but I could feel it. Hot tears arrived on my face. I screamed so loud. Death turned its head up from Chris and looked at me. Abyss is the only word that I can use to describe looking into its hood. Then they disappeared and I could hear my own screams. The trainers ran out into the field. My screams were soon joined by his parents in the stands. That's fucking dark.
That is. I wonder if this is true.
I mean, if it is, cool story. Even if it's not, kind of a, it's cool. Dude, if somebody said I could see, if somebody said, hey, we're going to take 4 or 5 years off your life, but you can see death every time it appears, I'd be like, yeah, I'm in, dude.
Why?
That's fucking awesome. I'm friends with a Reaper.
I don't think that's how that works.
That's not how it works for him. I'd be running over there. I'd be like, ah, Chris, give me a little kiss on the forehead. But death, dog, dap him up.
Reaper, old buddy.
That was dope.
Hold off on me for a few.
That was dope. I watched you plunge that sight there right into him. That was fucking sick.
Heard he kicked a dog once. What a hugger.
He wrote a penis on his arm in permanent ink. He had nothing to lose. The last time I see death would be in my mom's hospital room when I was 29. She had been on the losing side of a battle with cancer. The doctor gave her a month. My father had been by her day and night in the hospital for what felt like the last 2 months. I told him to go home and get some sleep. I would stay with mom. You know what? I'm starting to think that this kid
is the Grim Reaper.
Is the fucking Grim Reaper. Every time you're with somebody, they fucking croak. That night, death would come again. I was sitting in a chair right near the hospital bed, facing my mom. I was holding her hand. She used to be a force of nature, but now she felt so frail. I was looking at her when that cold chill came again, and silence could be felt. Death was on the other side of the bed, hovering over my mom. I remember Chris. I stood up and tried to push it away, but froze before my hands could make contact. I looked up towards its head and stared deep into the abyss behind the hood. I was filled with anger. I was there when it took my grandma. I saw it take Chris. It would not take my mom in that way. I yelled at it to leave, to forget about my mom. My yells turned to begs, which turned to sobs, which turned to silence. I fell to my knees, crying into my hands. Death moved from the side of the bed over to me. It knelt down. I could feel it beckoning me to raise my head to its. I tried to resist, but I was powerless. As I stared into that abyss, its hood slowly moved back to expose its face. I was looking at the true face of death. I learned I would die in that moment, or at least... Sorry, I learned how I would die in that moment, or at least how I would have died, next to my wife in old age. We'd go the same night, not leaving the other alone for a moment on this earth. That's how I would have gone. Now, I don't want to say how I'll die. Death was pleased with the information it had imparted. Happiness and anger all wrapped into one emotion. That's what I felt from it. It stood back up and made its way across the bed. It made me look at it as it tore its scythe into her body, violently removing what soul she had left. She looked at me, terrified and screaming. I could hear the screams this time. I laid on the ground crying through the night. I wouldn't stop until a nurse came in the room next to me in the morning and found me sobbing in the fetal position, tears no longer flowing. I know how long I have left, and I know how I go. I'm telling you this now because I want to be crazy. I lay awake every night remembering what death showed me. It's the only thing I see when I shut my eyes. I'm going to beat it to the punch, though. I'd rather skip to the finish line of screaming on its scythe rather than lay around waiting for death that is to come. So I'm writing this for anyone else who might think they're crazy just because they see death like I have. Just like I will. Don't speak, don't move, don't look, and death will come and go. If you should feel the desire to, just know, death will look right back at you.
This isn't a story, it's a suicide note.
Wow. Yeah, he just said he was fucking gonna pull the wool over death's eyes. You're gonna kill me, I kill me! It'd be sick if he tried to kill himself and death showed up and was like, like Matumbo.
Gator needs his gat back, you punk ass bitch.
You know what's coming for you. Could you imagine? Dude, you pissed death off. He was like, oh, here, you want a beautiful death? That's what I had in store for you. Not now. Yeah, death seems like a murderous clown to me.
What's with you and murderous clowns?
I like murderous clowns.
Why?
I don't know.
What's the point?
They're cool.
They're not.
They are kind of cool, though.
Sort of, but like, everyone knows clowns are shifty.
I like clowns.
Because they're shifty.
No, because I like nice clowns, too. Yeah,
no,
I do.
No one likes a nice clown.
I like clowns.
You know who was a really good clown?
John Wayne Gacy. He wasn't that great of a clown.
No.
He wasn't a clown. He was a magician.
Same thing.
No, it isn't at all, dude.
I mean, kind of.
That's kind of a rad story. I don't think it's true, but it's a rad story.
It's pretty good.
Maybe it is true. Hopefully it is. Oh, I just said hopefully it is. Yikes. Not what I meant.
Yowzers.
Yeah, yowzers. That's not what I meant. Sorry. This story is by Disco Dingus.
I want to hear it just for the name.
All right. What do you think of that one? I mean, that's kind of cool. I know it's not cool, but it's kind of cool.
I've always been one to be intrigued by my own death. And not in a sense that I'm afraid of it. I'm naturally curious like that. Like, for instance, you have a button there, you say don't push. I instinctively want to push it.
If you could know one or the other, how you would die or when you would die, which would you pick?
Oh, how?
How?
Yeah, because I would avoid that shit like the fucking plague.
Yeah, but it would just get you some other way.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, you know, Final Destination? Like, that type of shit? Like, oh my god, like, for instance, you're gonna die. And a ball of flames around a campfire. I'm never going camping again.
I'd like to roll a d20 for mine. How many years you got left? Nat 20! Damn it!
No. All seriousness, though. I don't care how... I kind of care how I die. I'd rather know how long I got left.
That's the opposite of what you just said.
Yeah, I know. I'm changing it up, though. I'd like to know how long I got left.
I don't know. I don't know which I'd pick. I think I'd pick...
Well, for instance...
I'd like to know how.
I want to know when. For the simple fact, if it, like, comes back and says...
You get your shit in order.
you die in like 6 months. Okay, cool. Fuck work. Fuck everything else.
Yeah.
I'm making memories.
I'd like to know how. Just because I'd be stoked if it wasn't by my own hand. That'd be nice.
Whoa. Come on.
That's dark. I know. My husband and I got lost on a hike, but found a house deep within the forest of Guatemala.
Never go into a house deep in the woods in Guatemala.
Anywhere.
Especially in Guatemala.
That's rough.
Yeah, so is Guatemala.
Oh my god. Trying to get to my friend's cockfighting ring in Guana. This thing had been cut open. This thing had been slit, stuffed full of drugs, and stitched back together. You know what I mean? I was blowing a border patrol. All right. We'd been wanting an adventure before starting a family, and now the pandemic was the kick in the ass we needed. While we were involuntary housebound, we did a lot of research and decided on traveling the Americas for 3 months. We were from east of England, so quite frankly, anywhere would have been an adventure. We were fortunate to be in a position where a three-month sabbatical was a comfortable option for us. My grandparents were wealthy and had left me a generous sum when they passed, and my husband Joseph and I both had great jobs. I had just turned 30 the week before we left, and Joseph was 32. It just felt right, like a now-or-never type scenario. Calgary was our first destination, followed by Vancouver.
That was for Vancouver?
Then we traveled through the western states of the U.S. down to Mexico. We were just over a month in by the time we reached Guatemala. We were staying in a forest campsite next to the Mayan ruins. That's cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
On our first night, Joseph excitedly called down to me as I towel dried my hair after an outdoor shower. Danny, come look at this. There was a tarantula in the corner of our spacious tent. One of the employees said it was harmless, and he even offered for us to handle it before moving it outside the camp.
Cool.
That's dope. I was apprehensive, but I briefly held it after my husband, such a surprisingly delicate creature. This was definitely the adventure I'd wanted. I felt a million miles away from home in the best way possible.
That's why I want to go to Australia.
Yeah, except that one will fuck you up.
Probably.
On our second full day, we hiked a trail that was noted for its wildlife spotting opportunities, particularly various monkeys and bird species. In the process of taking a picture, I dropped my phone and was taken by surprise as a small monkey took off with it.
Of course. It's always the fucking monkeys.
Hey, I yelled at. I don't believe it. What's up, Danny? Asked Joseph a little ahead of me. I couldn't help but laugh. A monkey just took my phone. Seriously, he asked, jogging me. Where'd it go? In the trees over there.
With the fucking monkey, of course.
Little sod, he said, running in that direction. Joseph, don't bother. It's gone. We're not leaving without trying, he yelled back. First mistake. I reluctantly went into the trees and caught a glimpse of his shirt in the distance. Please don't go any further, Joseph. We need to stay on the trail. I think I can see it, I heard him yell. Against my better judgment, I began to weave between the trees, stepping over foliage. Howler monkeys spoke to each other in the treetops. You second mistake.
Yeah, no fucking shit.
If I would have heard that in the fucking treetops. Wank, I'm back, gone home, fuck
Enjoy
it.
Enjoy the phone, FaceTime me if you can.
Yeah. Probably laughing about the dumb British tourists. I spotted a few colorful birds, but didn't have time to observe their beauty, instead pursuing my silly knight in shining armor who had lost sight of. Joseph, please call out to me. Over here! I could see him waving, allowing me to breathe. When I reached him, I gave him a big hug, then slapped his arm. I was scared, I said, wiping sweat from my brow. But look, he said, pointing up. I couldn't believe it. The little monkey was sitting on a branch, holding my phone. Hey, little one, I said softly, holding up my hands. Please, could you drop that down to me? It doesn't speak human, Danny said. Or Danny, said Joseph, picking up a stick. They're very intelligent, I said. Not that intelligent. Also, we're in Guatemala. It's more likely to understand Spanish.
Accurate, fucking accurate. I'll give him that.
He brought the stick back as if he was about to throw it. You cocksucker! Oh, thank God.
Danny said.
Thank God. I grabbed his wrist. You're not throwing sticks at local wildlife. Jesus Christ! Well, asking him nicely didn't work, he said, pulling away from me. But then, there came a thud as my phone bounced a few feet away from us. It was undamaged, too, the soft ground cushioning its fall. I was happy that we could head back to the trail, but that was short-lived. Several hours passed, and we couldn't find our way out of the forest. Joseph did his best to console me, but I could tell he was scared, too. As the ground began to feel softer, the air more dense and humid, we realized we were nowhere near where we had come from.
We realized we're fucked.
Yeah. Even the plant life looked different. I couldn't help but snivel as my nerves got the better of me. A weight was lifted when we spotted a solitary house in a clearing.
Oh, Jesus.
That would not be when my weight was lifted, dude.
No, it fucking
would. Why the fuck would there be a house out here? Joseph, look, I yelled with relief. There was a sudden rustling in the plants to our left, followed by a deep growl. Oh, fuck. We only had a second to acknowledge it before a large crocodile snapped its jaws in our directions. I screamed, and Joseph pulled me towards him.
What's a crocodile doing in the forest?
What's a crocodile? What's a corn dog doing in the middle of the ocean? The Harless! The Harless? The Harless. D-E-J-A-R-L-A-S. The Harless? We heard a woman yell from the house. The crocodile's growls became quieter as it backed up out of sight. If somebody just said a word and a fucking croc backed up, I'm not going in that house. She talks to crocs.
She's the croc whisperer.
We hurried to the moderately sized wooden house.
Bad.
Bad idea. Mistake number three.
She got guard crocs.
Which was elevated a little from the ground on stilts. A woman stood in the steps leading to the door. She was around mid-30s with raven black hair that spilled over her shoulders.
She's a fucking witch.
She was beautiful, and she was also heavily pregnant. Hola, said Joseph, a little out of breath. Por favor, lost Perdido. Great. I speak English, she said. Please come inside. She turned and walked up the steps. Joseph and I looked at each other, briefly hesitating before following her into her house. Once inside, I broke down. Gracias. I'm saying it dicked on purpose because they're British. I cried. Joseph put his arm around me, and the woman took my trembling hands in hers. I have something for your anxiety, she said. Sit down. We don't want to be a bother, said Joseph. If you could just point us. No bother, she said. Please sit. Fuck that. We took off our backpacks and sat at a table in the rustic kitchen. I was surprised to see electric-powered lighting, as wherever we were felt off the grid. The woman boiled some water on the stove, then started to prepare food. She put a plate of fruit on the table along with some bread, various spreads, and some sliced meat. Eat, she said with a smile, turning back to the stove.
Nope.
I looked at Joseph, who just shrugged. Despite our reservations, we were famished. I used my fingers to eat some mango and banana. Joseph braved the unidentified meat, making a sandwich with one of the spreads, which he said was similar to horseradish. The woman came back to put two hot cups on the table. It smelt strong with herbs and spices. You drink this, you will feel better, she said warmly. Thank you, I said, taking a small sip along with Joseph. It was so bitter it made my face screw up. Joseph audibly groaned in disgust, then looked incredibly apologetic. The woman laughed. It does not taste good, but it's good for the soul, she tapped her chest and forehead. We wouldn't want to be rude, so we continued drinking it. I'm Danny, by the way, and this is my husband, Joseph. I'm Lorena, she said. Are those crocodiles dangerous, asked Joseph. What the fuck? They can be, she said, taking a seat as she lovingly rubbed her large belly. But we share this land, so much respect one another. Oh, we much respect one another. Will this be your first child, I asked. She nodded. I'm very blessed. Congratulations, I said, reaching across to take Joseph's hand. We'd like to start a family of our own, too, once we're back home. Speaking of which, Joseph said, we really appreciate your help getting back to our camp. Is there a path we can take, or... It will be dark soon, said Lorena. It will not be safe after dark. You can stay here tonight. We couldn't put you out like that, I said. I insist, she said. You'll find your way tomorrow. I looked at Joseph as if to say, do something, but he just shrugged. You're very kind, Lorena, he said. We're incredibly grateful, thank you. Dump this idiot.
Are crocs dangerous? Can we stay in your fucking withered shelter?
No, it's not withered. It's a perfectly good house.
On the outside? Sounds like some Hansel and Gretel type shit.
Yeah, there's no fucking chance that I'd be sipping anything coming out of that bitch.
Or eating the meat.
You know, I freshened up, feeling gross. And sticky from the day's heat. Fortunately, I'd packed a spare top and shorts in my backpack, thinking that they can come in handy for that very reason. While Joseph was in the bathroom, Lorena showed me around. It was as quaint and rustic as you'd expect a house in the rainforest to be. An impressive collection, I said, observing a large wall of books. You like to read, she asked? Oh, yes, I adore reading. My favorite author was Virgil... Oh, fuck me. Virgilio Rodriguez Macal. She showed me his works on the shelf and stroked the spine of one called El Mundo del Misterio Verde. That sounds bad. It's mysterious. It's fucking El Mundo, the world mystery. I don't know. That doesn't sound good. This is my favorite book. I'm afraid my Spanish is terrible, I laughed. I would understand very little. We went to the back of the house where there was an elevated deck over a large expanse of water with trees and plants growing directly out of it. The sun was beginning to set and gave it such a warm glow. Wow, I said. What a view. Welcome to the swamp, said Lorena. Are you out here alone, I asked. You haven't mentioned the baby's father.
Wow, what a hole.
She looked down and stroked her belly, a small smile on her lips. I'm alone now, but not for long. I'm sorry if I asked too much. I have my sisters nearby, and them too. She nodded to the water where some crocodiles had surfaced. I get a little shiver. In England, we look out back and might see the neighbor's cat or the odd hedgehog. Here, something that wants to eat you. She laughed. We have cats, too, but they might want to also eat you. She groaned a little and held her belly. Oh, is she moving tonight? May I? She smiled and took my hand, gently pressing it against her, as I could feel the baby. Her baby turned inside. How does it feel? I asked. She sighed. Magical. Like the greatest honor. It's hard to explain. I understand, I said. I honestly can't wait for the next chapter in my life. At least, I hope for the next chapter. You'll be a great mother, Danny, she said. I feel it. I smiled. Thank you, Lorena. So will you. The baby kicked out suddenly, making me flinch. I laughed it off as we went back inside. Great, Satan.
We formed a pack.
Yeah. Lorena kindly put us up in a spare bedroom. Joseph stared at me intently as we laid on an unfamiliar bed.
Don't close your fucking eyes.
He brushed the hair from my face and kissed me, his other hand stroking my inner thigh. Joseph, I said, we can't, not here. I don't know what it is, maybe the fact that Lorena is smoking. Hey, I laughed playfully, slapping him, but I couldn't deny that I felt the same way too. We made love. You dirty bitches.
You fucked in her house.
Then fell asleep to the sounds of nature. I woke up in the early hours when it was still dark. I stirred for a while but became restless, so I left the bedroom and went to the deck for fresh air. The swamp was bathed in moonlight, giving an enchanting look. Despite the terrifying experience of being lost here, I was grateful that it led us to Lorena in this beautiful part of the world. She's out there fucking a croc.
Oh my god.
As I was looking around, I spotted something in the forest to the left. There was something white that stood out, but I couldn't quite tell what it was at that point. As I kept staring, I began to notice small details and realized I was looking at the skull of a large animal. Its empty eye sockets appeared to be looking in my direction. I assumed it was attached to a tree as it was suspended a few feet from the ground, but it turned and it disappeared into the forest. Fantastic! I gasped and stepped back. When I turned to go back inside, Lorena was standing in the doorway, making me scream. I did not mean to scare you, she said. Lorena, I said, clutching my hands to my chest. I just saw something in the trees, a skull, a large animal skull. I was breathing heavily as she took my hands. You are far from home, Danny. We have different ways here. There are villages nearby with ancient tribes. Some of these tribes wear skulls, as how you say, I shook my head, tradition, superstition, see, like this. Oh my goodness, I said, are they dangerous? No, she said, not to us. I took a deep breath and left. Then what the fuck are they doing out there? Why aren't they in their fucking village? What are they doing? What the fuck are they doing here?
Why are they doing reconnaissance?
Yeah. The second I saw it, it fucked off. That's not good. That's not good news. I took a deep breath and laughed uneasily. Well, I wanted an adventure, and I certainly got that. I went back to bed thinking I wasn't going to get any sleep at all, but within minutes of hearing Joseph's gentle breaths, I joined him. I awoke to sunlight and the smell of something delicious cooking, as well as an empty bed. Joseph was eating breakfast in the kitchen.
Jesus.
Good morning, I said. And Lorena was already guiding me to sit at the table, putting a plate of eggs and avocado in front of me. You're spoiling us, Lorena. It's my pleasure, she said. Danny, said Joseph, Lorena's fishing this morning and I offered to help. You know how much I love to fish. I do, I said. But perhaps we should be thinking about getting back to camp. I'm sure they were concerned we didn't come back yesterday. They have our money already, he said. I doubt they care. This guy's all the way in on Lorena. He's like, yep, this is my best fucking friend. We're going fishing together. Fuck all the other stuff. We had a great time last night. This is fantastic. His response irritated me a little. I disagree. I think they'll be searching for us. If not now, then soon. I'm sorry, said Lorena. I do not want to cause trouble. Not at all, I said. We're so grateful that you, for what you've done for us, but I worry that we'll be causing trouble by being missing. Danny, we only live once, he said. I don't know what it is, but I love it out here. Just let me have this, just for today, please. I felt like he'd got me in a spot where saying no would make me a monster. How far are we from camp, roughly? I asked, telling Lorena where we were based. No more than 3 hours. You just follow the swamp north. Joseph was looking at me with puppy eyes. Okay, but we should head back this afternoon. Absolutely, he said. Thank you, Danny. Lorena put a hand on my shoulder. Will you join us? I contemplated it. You know, I've actually been pretty full up until now. I think I might take the opportunity to chill on the deck, watching the world go by. Maybe read a book that you do not understand, she laughed. Exactly. New experiences all around. I insisted on washing the dishes as Joseph and Lorena prepared to head out to a little spot a little further up the swamp. I spent an hour or so on the deck before heading back inside to cool down, checking out Lorena's book wall in more detail. They were all in Spanish from what I could see, but I recognized some of the more famous titles. I found the books by Virgilio Rodriguez Macal. My eyes fell onto El Mundo del Misterio Verde, Lorena's favorite. Something green mystery, I say aloud, chuckling to myself. When I pulled it out, the book only moved slightly, and something in the wall clicked. I was frozen to the spot for that moment before I gently pushed on the wall and part of it moved inwards on a hinge.
Fuck.
Fuck off. That's literally what it says. Fuck off, I said, taking a step back as cool air blew from within. I'd only seen secret doors in films, and we had no idea such things existed. On the other side was a dark passageway with stone walls. I looked around like a child about to do something naughty, and almost stepped fully inside without propping the door open. The last thing I wanted was for the door to close behind me with no way of getting out, so I used a stack of old books that looked like encyclopedias. My heart was racing as I went inside. As I followed the wall, it gradually became lighter as beams of natural light shone from the cracks in the ceiling. The ground was a mixture of stone, dirt, and small plants. The temperature was cool compared to the rest of the house. I eventually came to a large opening that was lit from larger beams and flame torches on the walls. It was like a massive hall inside an ancient temple. It took me far too long to notice that this was impossible for this room to exist as a part of Lorena's house. It was at least double the size alone. My brain couldn't work out where I was, as I'd only walked in a straight line. I should have been in the swamp. There were several tall trees growing out of the floor. In the center were some stone steps that led up to an idol. I climbed them to get a better look. Carved from stone was the figure of a nude woman, but her head was that of a crocodile. What the fuck? I whispered. Lorena had mentioned the local tribes. I assumed this was something they worshipped or used to worship.
I told you, crocodile lady.
I gasped as a tarantula made an appearance, crawling from the back of the idol's leg. It looked similar to the one that I had picked up in our tent. I felt compelled to pick it up, as if it was trying to prove a point to myself, so I gently placed a hand near it and used my other to coax it. I held it in my palms like it was made of porcelain. There came a deep, guttural growl from nearby. I made a sudden move to turn. I guess I startled the spider. It bit my right palm, forcing me to drop it. I watched it scurry away into darkness as my palm began to sting. I had two puncture wounds that trickled with a little blood. The growl came again, and this time I fell back, my hand making contact with the idol. There was a strange sensation in my arm, like an intense vibration. I pulled my hand away and looked up. The long, reptilian face appeared to be looking down on me. I backed down the steps, my heart bursting from my chest. There was a loud hiss to my side, and a large, very real crocodile snapped at me. I screamed and fell, throwing myself back. It turned to face me, but didn't move any closer. It just growled. I quickly got to my feet and ran back down the passageway, feeling relief when the hidden door was still propped open. I ran out of the house and looked around, making an educated guess where Lorena and Joseph might be. I called their names frantically. I wanted to grab Joseph and leave, find our way back to the camp. As far as I was concerned, this adventure was over. It had now moved into creepy, weird territory. I almost fell to my knees when I saw Joseph on the bank of the swamp. "Hey, what's up with you?" he asked. "Where's Lorena?" I asked out of breath. "She went back to the house. Why?" "We need to get out of here. Now." "Danny," he said, grabbing my shoulders, "tell me why." I did my best at explaining what had happened, and he started to laugh. "Why are you laughing at me?" "Danny, look where you are. We're in central fucking America, not Suffolk. You know about the history and culture. Those are not unusual things for this part of the world. Are you fucked?" But the room shouldn't exist. It's..." "Shush, Danny. I thought you were more open to cultural differences. You're embarrassing yourself right now." I hate this cocksucker. He's gaslighting the hell out of her. If this was me, I'd punch her in the throat and leave him there. I was completely taken aback. I'm open, Joseph. What I just experienced wasn't like that, though. "You want to go?" he yelled. "Fine. We'll just shit on Lorena's hospitality and go. Come on." He's a cocksucker. I don't like this guy. Either that or he's under some crocodilian spell.
Could have been the meat.
Shithead meat? He started to storm away, leaving me feeling uncomfortable, but he stopped and turned back, looking in all directions before he spoke. "Fuck it. I was going to wait until we got to Peru. People fall from those mountains all the time, but here is a good place of anyway. Middle of nowhere. No one out here but sweet Lorena." Holy fuck.
What? What?
Doesn't that sound like he's going to kill her?
Kinda.
"Fuck it. I was going to wait until we got to Peru. People fall from those mountains all the time, but here's as good a place as any. Middle of nowhere. No one out here but sweet Lorena." He started walking towards me and picked up a rock.
Jesus.
I don't understand, Joseph. You don't really need to understand. I started to back away. "You're scaring me. I do love you in a way, Danny, but one thing I really love about you is your bank account." I couldn't believe what was happening. It made me forget about everything that had came before. "But we're going to start a family," he scoffed. "I don't want children with you. I never did." My heart was broken and my nerves were shattered into the space of minutes. "Joseph," I cried, "you don't have to do this. The money is ours to share. You wouldn't get it anyway. It would go to my parents." "Well, I know that's a fucking lie because I was there when you wrote the will." "I changed it," I snapped, "without your knowledge." He froze and looked at me like he'd been deceived. "I don't believe you, but regardless, I kind of had to do this now." I screamed and ran the opposite direction. Joseph grabbed me from behind, and I felt a dull pain in the back of my head. My vision became blurry as I hit the water and made a feeble attempt to stay on the surface. "Oh, no," he said dramatically. "You've fallen into the swamp. Shame about the man-eating crocodiles and all." "Joe, please. Help," he screamed from his lungs. "Oh, God, help." He smiled at me, waved, then jogged towards the house. I could hear him screaming for Lorena as everything started getting darker. One thing I noticed was on a nearby bank of the swamp, there was another one of those skull people. They appeared just to watch me as I struggled. The last thing I remember is a crocodile on the swamp surface, making a beeline towards me. Then I went completely under. I woke up to screams. As my eyes adjusted, I could see warm shades flickering in my peripheral vision. When I sat up, pain shot through the back of my head. I felt the wound that Joseph had inflicted, my hair still damp. As I focused, I could see I was back in the chamber, the ancient hall. There was a large fire bathing it with light, casting shadows that reached to the ceiling. Joseph was screaming. He was nude and tied to one of the trees, his arm stretched to the side and tied to protruding branches. You know what? I was wrong about Lorena. She's a fantastic person.
Right?
And the skull people are all great, too. This guy was a cunt. Before the idol was Lorena, contributing to the screams. She was on her back with her legs spread. All right. A slightly older woman with a striking family resemblance spoke encouragingly in Spanish, long dark hair covering her bare breasts. A younger, facially similar woman danced around the fire, waving her arms to the imaginary music. Her hair was in a pixie style, her nude body proudly on display. These were Lorena's sisters. Lorena threw her head back and looked right at me, thick veins protruding from her forehead and neck as she groaned in agony. There were crocodiles all around the hall coming to witness the events, too. One brushed against me as it passed, its scales rough against my skin. I cowered, but it showed no hostility. With a final scream, Lorena collapsed, and the sisters were standing over her were smiling wide. "Oh, God, no," Joseph screamed from the tree, thrashing his head from side to side. The sister held up Lorena's baby, but it wasn't human. It was reptilian. "I told you she fucked a crocodile." It had a long tail and a long snout. She said something in Spanish, and the dancing sister repeated it. Lorena slowly got to her feet, looking shaky as she met her sisters by the fire. They chanted together and then threw the baby. "Oh, I was kidding! Then she threw it into the flames! I was kidding, oh God." A single fireball erupted, then became nothing but embers. The dancing sisters retrieved a knife from the idol step and skipped towards Joseph. "No, you crazy bitch," he yelled, violently thrashing about. She made two cuts as he screamed, one on each of his inner thighs close to the groin. Blood streamed down his legs, causing two crocodiles below him to hiss and snap in a frenzy. Lorena walked over to me and I rolled over, attempting to crawl away. "No, Danny," she said breathlessly. She helped me stand and guided me to the idol where the sisters were waiting. I cried, "Please, Lorena, I don't want to be here." "It cannot be undone," she said. "This is a blessing." When we got to the idol, the older sister took my right hand and ran her fingers over the small puncture wounds on my palm. She then pointed to the spot where the idol marked with my blood. The three sisters showed their palms, all exhibiting scars from previous self-inflicted wounds. "Le dis tu sangre a la madre," she said, then paused as if taken by surprise. She rushed to me and stroked my belly, then took my face in hers. "Eres una hija del pantano," she said. I looked at Lorena for help. "You are a daughter of the swamp," she smiled, rubbing my belly. "Congratulations." I pushed her hand away and shook my head. "No, I don't want to be. I want to go home." The older sister picked up a crocodile skull from the idol's steps. It was the top half only. It had a headband attached inside. She placed it onto the younger sister's head, then took another and placed it on Lorena. "Hija del Pantano," she said, putting a skull on me before finally putting one on herself. I barely resisted, feeling mentally and physically exhausted. The sisters guided me to the fire where they all began to chant again. Several crocodiles joined us, looking up at the flames. I cried under the skull for myself and for Joseph. His eyes were wide and delirious, his screams hoarse from the damage they'd caused. "Danny," he stuttered, "stop this madness, please." I felt his anguish. The sisters gripped my arms as they chanted loudly. The flames grew higher and a form began to take shape within it. A tall hourglass figure with hair that flowed down to her buttocks and a long scaly jaws filled with pointed teeth. She must have stood at least 8 feet tall as she roared into the chamber. I don't know how long she'd been away for, but one of the sisters called, "Madre." But one thing was clear as she looked at Joseph. She was hungry.
Is that it?
That's it.
That was pretty good.
First comment. Fuck Joseph. I mean, I feel for your loss. That shit sucks no matter what. Still, he was, is, an extremely shitty person. You deserve so much more. You gained a beautiful family in return, though.
Now she's gonna have to give birth to a crocodile.
That shit was kind of wild, dude.
Right?
These are some pretty good stories.
God, I hope that's real.
How much time we got left?
Not at
all. Oh, fuck. All right, let's see if I can get through one more. Ready? My friend told me I have a lookalike. It was when I started my new job in London. I won't say what it is, but it's a very well-paying job. I might not be qualified for. Still, if you know what rent is like in the better... If you know what rent is like in the better part of London, you'd know you'd need a wealthy income. My first day there was like any other job. I was touring through my department when I glanced at a large bloke who looked down at me oddly. Not how you would look at your new coworker, but more like how you would look at one of your bosses when they came in and found you haven't been working. I would describe it as confused yet panicked. Later, I was introduced to him. His name was Bradley, and he was my superior. I still remember how he approached me like one would a grizzly bear. He stammered, "No, do I?" He stared at my face, registering every detail. "No, I don't know you, do I?" To break the ice on the odd interaction, I said, "No, we haven't met," and I told him my name. "We haven't, have we? Sorry," he shook my hand. "My name's Bradley. Just call me Brad." "Wow, sorry. Do you have a twin or something?" "Sorry, no. You just look like someone I know. One of my neighbors, I think." I looked quizzically at him. "Well, I don't have a twin, but I don't know you. Shall we?" "Oh, right. Let me show you the ropes. Sorry, you just look so familiar. He must be your lookalike or something. Sorry, you look nice." I smiled at him. We became good friends over the next few months. Brad was an upbeat and friendly and occasionally quiet. Oh, and occasionally quite weird in a good way. He knew how to have a good time, drink like an Irishman with his mates from work in the pub, and support his favorite football team. Brad was the average middle-aged Brit. He looked like it, too. As I said before, he was a big bastard. He hadn't grown a pot belly. He had a growing pot belly and a round, jolly face. I wouldn't call him good-looking as Sylvester Stallone, but he was handsome for his age. Yet it was clear a large part of Brad's life was a mystery. According to my coworkers, he was single and no one had ever been around his place. Despite his reluctiveness, I was the closest person to him, and we were a lot more than just friends. I still didn't know much more about him than anyone else, particularly when I knew he knew more about my so-called doppelganger that he let on. My primary reason for suspecting him was how he got my name wrong on several occasions. He blushed the hardest the first time he did it when he called me Sonny. I recoiled from him slightly. "What'd you just call me?" He blinked a couple times and corrected himself while apologizing. "Is that the name of my lookalike?" I asked him. He looked off in the distant corner of the pub as he replied, "Yeah, sorry, you just look a lot like him." I met his eyes head on and he suggested, "Do you think I could meet him sometime?" It was the first time we argued. It wasn't a big row, just enough to put a few days between us. Whenever Brad called me Sonny after that, I just ignored it. For whatever reason, Brad didn't want to talk about my lookalike. I found this strange, since that drew him to me in the first place. It was obvious my replicant was more to him than a neighbor. I considered whether he was having a secret affair with Sonny, and after he met me, Brad wanted to play the field. I didn't think Sonny was being had on the side. It didn't explain why he was so secretive about his relationship with Sonny. I just assumed he was yet to come out of the closet, as neither of us had made anything official between us after all. Time and time again, Brad refused to let me come to see his home. It was like he had something to hide, and this had me curious. So one evening after work, I followed Brad home. Not in a stalker way, yes it was,
yep.
But more in a concerned coworker way. Besides, I knew he was the kind of person to take the gesture lightly. Brad's place was an upper-class house that must have been worth $500,000. It was more than I could. It was more than what I could rent, but Brad had it passed down to him from his family, who he had often bragged were quite well off. It was such a nice house, it made me wonder even more about his private life. If he wanted, he could host a high-class dinner parties with his friends. Why would he keep the place to himself? It wasn't like him. He entered his lavish home, closing the door behind him. I walked up and considered knocking. I hesitated to let him know I was there, and reconsidered my actions. Maybe stalking him home may have been a bit much, as he clearly didn't want any work friends to see his place. But I made it that far, so I thought, what the hell? I knew he was the forgiving type, and we were definitely more than work friends. I pressed my knuckle up against the door, but before I could knock, the door shifted forward, pushing the door lightly. It opened. With this revelation, I thought about sneaking up on Brad to teach him to lock his door properly. Once again, I thought, I've made it this far. Might as well.
Wow.
Then I crept along the entrance hall to explore further. I heard something from a door opposite me. I first thought it was the house creaking under its weight, though as my mind proceeded the subtle noise, or processed the subtle noise, it sounded more like a rattle. Some people might judge me for nosing around another person's home without their permission. Yep. I can't help it. I'm the prying sort of person, and I'm glad I did it. I put my ear to the door to listen for sound, and after a few moments there it was again, a metallic rattle in an echoey room. I waited for it again. The next time it sounded like soft metallic scrape, like something was briefly dragged along a concrete floor. At this time, I knew what the sound was of. It was undeniably a metal chain. Does he have something chained up in there? I twisted the old doorknob, pushing the door open. Behind it were stairs descending into a large space. This filled me with a new dread. What does Brad have locked up down there? I pondered. It was the only thing... It was one thing to have something chained up in your house. It was another to have something chained up in your basement and kept from public view. What do you mean? It was then I realized I stumbled on to Brad's secret. Before deciding whether to retreat or go down, I sensed Brad coming close to his front door. Swiftly and as quietly as I could, I stepped down and pushed the door closed. The light only light source came from the sunlight around the door. Luckily, there was enough to see the light switch next to me. With nowhere else to go, I flicked on the switch and ventured down. The basement light slowly flickered on, like I had imagined the lights in a bunker during the First World War would turn on. The scene before me couldn't look any more wrong. On the floor in a corner, a man lay naked and covered in filth. I couldn't see his face. He was curled up in a ball, facing away, but he slowly became animate as I trudged down to his level, his body uncrumpled slightly, jingling the chain around his ankle. This man's eyes gazed up at me with discontent through long matted hair, but within the same instant, his eyes turned to that of a dreary dread, and with little more speed than before, he stood up. I got face to face to have my first good look at him. He looked almost exactly like me. He was my look-alike. I instantly knew what Brad had meant before. If I hadn't seen him stand up, I would have assumed I was gazing into a mirror, or at least a distorted mirror. His features, though almost exactly like mine, were ever so slightly off. Only slightly. It took me a few seconds to see the differences, and before people say he's related to me, I can assure you that this man I had seen in the basement had no relation to me whatsoever. It was pure coincidence. We investigated each other's faces for some time, almost mirroring each other to make the differences more apparent. It was truly bizarre and a unique experience meeting my doppelganger, especially given the circumstances. But as fast as the amazement suddenly came, the sudden realization of the situation came faster. Brad is keeping my doppelganger chained up in his fucking basement. At this time, I was in denial of that conclusion. Even as clear as the evidence was, the feeling of truly not truly knowing your best friend's true nature is a feeling that can't be described. My mind rationalizing the situation and giving my friend a moral explanation for keeping this man in his basement. Or better, maybe the man was locked up in Bradley's basement without his knowledge. However, no logical explanation made itself known. I think our hearts skipped a beat when we heard the door above us creak open and Bradley's thunderous footsteps marching down the stairs. I had to hide. The chained-up man also knew this and quickly pointed to the broom cupboard under the stairs, whispering, "In there." I hid and peeked through the door slit. Through it, I saw Bradley come down and approach the man in the corner. "Sonny," he yapped. "How's my boy?" I couldn't see what he was doing to Sonny. I could only see Bradley's back. From the context of what he was saying, I assumed he was stroking Sonny. "Yes, you're still okay." That freaked me out. He did the exact same thing to me when we flirted. Bradley continued, "Now how about you explain the light being on? I know I turned it off when I left you," he leaned down, "and you could see Sonny looking helplessly at me. Looks like you haven't escaped your chains." Bradley stood up slowly and again whispered something into Sonny's ear. I don't know what he said, but the horrified look on Sonny's face told me enough. Just as slowly, he turned his head to look directly at me. He knows where I am. Bradley moved towards me, and Sonny grabbed his leg, holding it with all of his might. I knew what I had to do at that moment. It was do or die. I leapt from my position and scrambled for the stairs. I fled on all fours like a hound at a hill, and I swung the door open and sprinted out the front door of Bradley, wailing at me to come back. And I ran down the street like a madman. I kept running. I didn't stop until I knew without a doubt Bradley couldn't catch up to me. Eventually, I came across a pedestrian. "You all right, mate?" he asked. There was only one response I had to give. "Call the police."
Fuck no!
Later, the police arrived at Bradley's house and found it empty. After questioning the neighbors, they found out he was left in his car not too long after I ran out, and he was carrying what looked like a body wrapped in bin bags. The police tracked him down and found him burning something by the Thames. It was Sonny's body. Bradley was arrested and later questioned. He admitted to kidnapping Sonny, but not to sexually abusing him and murdering him. So who was Sonny? Sonny was never his real name, just the name Bradley gave him. He disappeared around a decade ago from a local park as a kid. No one ever suspected Bradley of kidnapping him. I wish I'd tried more to save him. He died because I ran. I don't know what to say. I would have never thought Bradley was capable of such horrible things, and now I have to live with the fact that my friend was a kidnapping murderer. Yet it gets worse. As the detective spoke to me the rest of the story, he also informed me that Bradley was trying to send me what looks like love letters. I can only unmask Bradley because I looked I happen to look like his chained up victim. So, if there's a lesson in this story, then make it this. Know who your friends are, because for all you know, they might be just like Bradley.
Jesus.
I would shit a motherfucking brick.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, guys, we are running out of time rapidly. We hope you enjoyed that one. There were some spook-ass stories. That crocodile one was... I don't think it was true, but it's a good story.
Me too.
We thank you for tuning in every week or just once, whatever. We appreciate all of you. If you want to get in touch with us, the best way to do that is over on our Instagram, Intertwined Minds. If you don't have Instagram, you still want to get a hold of us, the best way to do that is to send us an email, intertwinedminds94@gmail.com. We get back to everybody on both platforms. We love hearing from you guys. If you have any suggestions for any episodes or questions or just factoids or just jokes, we'll take it all. We love hearing from you. It's one of the best parts about doing the podcast. We appreciate and love each one of you, and we hope to see you back here next week. And until then, we're your hosts, Skip.
And I'm Captain. Tune in next week where I tell you where I keep my sex slave locked up.
Gross.